You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
Everyone, so here we are, the first week of November, the second national lockdown, and our psalm this week seems even more relevant today than it did perhaps even last week, let alone a couple of weeks ago. We are looking at Psalm 6 this week, and the title of the sermon is Lord, How Long? I wonder, have you prayed that prayer, cried that cry, or asked that question of God over this season we've found ourselves in? Lord, how long? 2020 has been an incredibly difficult year. And in some respects, the indications are that we're going into the most difficult season of the year so far. Winter nights are creeping in. The chill outside is noticeable. The pandemic is on another tear. The number of those in hospital is growing at an alarming rate. The tragic figure of the number of total deaths is just too high. And then we've entered a second lockdown. For much of our lives and the immediate outlook, it's looking pretty bleak. Yet we mustn't close our eyes to it and wear rose-tinted glasses and somehow refuse to confront the reality that's in front of us. The Bible doesn't do that. Certainly, as we've seen through this series in the Psalms, the book of Psalms don't do that, and neither should we. So what are we meant to do when that cry rises up from our innermost beings? How long, O Lord? How long? Well, I think Psalm 6 helps us answer that question. So let's read it together. Psalm 6, and I'm reading from the New International Version. Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord? How long? Turn, Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. Among the dead, no one proclaims your name. Who praises you from the dead? I am worn out from my groaning, and all night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail me because of my foes. In verse 8, away from me all who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies will be overwhelmed with shame and anguish. They will turn back and suddenly be put to shame. This is such a great psalm. There's so much richness in it, so much said. And yet, at the same time, there's so much left unsaid. The psalm begins with a plea for the Lord not to rebuke in anger or discipline him in his wrath. Yet there's no mention of any specific sin. There's no confession of sin or even repentance of sin. Yet why is the writer concerned that God's anger and wrath are against him? There is a cry for mercy or grace because the writer is weak, frail, and faint. There's a plea for healing because his bones are in agony. Yet there's no mention of a specific illness, or indeed whether that illness is physical or psychological or spiritual, or maybe all three. Psalm 6 also makes clear that the distress, illness, and perhaps despair is so great that death has come very near. Verse 5 says, among the dead, no one proclaims your name. Who praises you from the grave? Furthermore, the psalm speaks of foes or enemies, but we do not know who they are or how they attack. In all that is said, and indeed left unsaid, we see a wonder and a beauty of the psalms generally. Because it is written this way, we are able to take the psalms and pray them into our context today. The circumstances are unlikely to be identical. Our time compared to theirs is very different. And yet there is enough overlap, enough similarity, and enough display of the human soul, emotions, and the journey with God, such that we can deeply resonate with the words of this psalm in 2020, in lockdown 2.0, and in the specific context of our lives. You see, whatever is happening in verses 1 to 4, we certainly gain a picture of a person, what they are feeling, and how they approach God. And we can learn so much from this. Let's recap. Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord? How long? Turn, Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. See, whether there has been sin in his life, or perhaps just an awareness that in this broken world where sin ensnares and wreaks havoc, God's anger and wrath is awakened, we can see and learn that our approach to God is never on the merits of our own efforts. Even if you understand verse 1 to indicate some personal sin, the psalmist cries out to God for mercy and grace, and not to deal with him based on what he has done. In his weakness, in his distress, in his illness, the psalmist cries out for mercy, grace, and to be healed. Verse 4, you hear that so loudly. Turn, Lord, and deliver me. Save me because, and this is what's really important for all of us to understand, the reason why the Lord should turn, deliver, and save the psalmist and save you and me is because of God's unfailing love. This is the same word which has been coming up repeatedly on our journey through the Psalms, this word otherwise known as loving kindness. Because of God's loving kindness, this is a direct call on the nature and character and love of God. Save me because of your loving kindness. It has nothing to do with us other than out of our lips the words are uttered. We also see that there is pain in the cry. Verse 3 says his soul is in deep anguish. There is a sense here of deep inner pain, of anguish and frailty. And it all leads to this central question in the psalm. How long, Lord? How long? I suspect many of us can relate to these feelings, this pain, and this cry. Anyone who has experienced prolonged, ongoing illness. How long, Lord? How long? Anyone who has suffered a relationship breakdown, extended job loss, or when death visits so close. Each moment, each hour, and each day can feel like a lifetime. How long, Lord? How long? Maybe for you it's the very real impact of this new lockdown, the isolation and the loneliness. How long, Lord? How long? See, this cry is real, it's raw, and regardless of why it came about, the psalmist, in the midst of his pain and sorrow and illness, approaches God based on God's loving kindness, based on God's character, based on God's faithfulness to you and to me. As we looked last week at Psalm 137, we need to be honest with God. We need to be honest with how we are feeling, and to do that before our loving Father. It's okay to go before God and cry out to Him like the psalmist does here. I am weak, I am in agony, and I am in deep anguish. It's not just that it's okay to do that before God. God has made a way for you and for me to do that very thing when He sent Jesus Christ to the cross for our sins. God invites you into His presence to be honest, to be real, to be raw with how you are feeling. He paid the highest price in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, so that you and I are invited into His presence, reconciled in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. You see, the difference between verse 1 of Psalm 6 and our prayers today is the cross of Christ. The difference is Jesus Christ crucified for you and for me, so that the wrath and anger of God, which by rights we should incur, have been spent rather on Jesus Christ on the cross. He has paid for every sin we've ever committed and every sin we will commit for the rest of our days. And this means that everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is now invited into the presence of God, restored into relationship with God the Father, and you are invited to be real, raw, and honest with God the Father in those times of weakness, agony, and anguish. In Jesus Christ, our Savior, we are offered this place. We are offered, if you like, this special space where we can be utterly real, utterly honest, and utterly true before our God and King. That offer is available to you today. If you do not know Jesus as Savior and Lord, and if you do not know the Father as your God, you can turn from your old life without God. Repent from that life. Say sorry for the things that you have done, how you have sinned against other people and ultimately against God. You can acknowledge that Jesus died for your sins on the cross and that He rose again in resurrection power, and you can receive Him as Lord and Savior. It's a work of mercy and amazing grace. It costs God everything, and yet is freely given to you as a gift. You can receive that gift by faith today. You can pray a prayer asking God to forgive you for living a life without Him and to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. If that's you, why don't you take a moment now? Pray that prayer. It's a profound and yet simple prayer. Let's now turn to verses 5 to 7. I'll recap them. Among the dead, no one proclaims your name. Who praises you from the grave? I am worn out from my groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping, and I drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail me because of my foes. Verse 5 starts with this looming threat of death. It seems so close and near to the psalmist, and he responds by declaring what was a common Old Testament understanding and thought of death. Death was seen as the ultimate silencer of worship, of praise, of humanity being able to declare and display the wonder of God before others. The place of death, this strange place that the Bible talks about, is a place removed from worship, is a land which is not a land, a shadowy existence far removed from God. In essence, the psalmist is saying that if I'm dead, then I can no longer praise your name, make your name known among the people, and no longer declare the goodness of God. Furthermore, it speaks to us as people in the age after the cross of Christ that our time for decision, our time whether we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, is in this life. And in that respect, death is the ultimate leveler. Our opportunity and time to receive Jesus Christ as Lord is in this life. Indeed, it's today. And in that we find an urgency and a loving motivation to share our faith, to proclaim the good news of the gospel, and to live our lives to the glory, wonder, and praise of God. If you're a Christian, then your life is a walking testimony. It is always speaking, always testifying of something, to something. And let me encourage all of us today, let our lives always testify of the goodness, grace, and loving kindness of God the Father. Verse 6 and 7 further emphasize that raw state we find our psalmist in, worn out with groaning all night long, flooding his bed with weeping and drenching his couch with tears. What are we to make of this language, this emotion, these tears? What about you? Do these verses resonate with your experience? Have you experienced tears and groaning and weeping throughout this year? I know I have. What about you? God has given us these emotions, these ways of expressing ourselves, and we see the psalmist using the full range here. Perhaps there is an element of poetic license going on here to make the full force of his emotions felt. But regardless, these prayers, these requests to God were made with tears, weeping, and groaning. It's okay not to be okay. God, in his loving kindness, welcomes you into his presence to weep and express all of your heart to him. It often feels like our Western culture has determined that strength looks like someone who has it all together, who doesn't let emotion show or strain be seen. It's a polished image that so many of us strive to attain, a sense of being in control, having it all together. It's ultimately a sense of making God in my personal image rather than being made in the image of God. And I don't see that here in the Psalms. I see tears and weeping. And you know the kind of tears I'm talking about here. It's gushing, it's flooding. It involves the nose and the mouth and the voice. It's not a pretty escape of a single tear across a chiseled cheekbone. No, it's a full throttled weeping that comes from a deep inner anguish. I wonder, have we created the space in our lives, in our relationship with God, for this kind of encounter? Do you know this God, this loving Father who welcomes you, indeed who invites you to come into his presence and express your rawness, your hurt, your pain, your illness, your isolation, your frustration, and all to do that and express that in front of him and before him? This really confronts us, doesn't it? It begs the question, what concept of God the Father do you have inside your heart? Can I do this in front of him? Does he welcome me in my times of deep darkness, weeping and anguish, to flood my bed with tears all night long? What is the image of God that's operating in your heart? the God of the Bible, the God of the Psalms, the God of the prophets, and the God of our Lord Jesus Christ welcomes you, invites you into his presence to be all of you. Every joy, every tear, every pain, every illness, every delight, every passion. He has made you. He created you. He delights in you, and he loves all of you, even the snotty, gushy, overwhelmed you. Rush into his presence and into his loving arms today. If you're feeling overwhelmed, whether by sickness, whether by the pandemic, whether by the lockdown or any other thing, God is calling you, inviting you and welcoming you into his presence today through the Lord Jesus Christ. Our knowing of him in this way, our encounter with him, as we find here in Psalm 6, is crucial to the pivot we're about to see in this psalm. Out of that anguish and deep darkness, with tears flooding before God, the psalmist comes to know God in a deeper, more real, and more assured way than ever before. When we realize that we can bring all of ourselves, all the nice, sharp lines of our lives, but also, and perhaps more importantly, the broken, anguished, and worn out aspects as well, we can know our Father in a truly transformative way. Look here at this pivot that I'm talking about in the psalm. From eyes that have grown dim and worn out in verse 7 and all of the psalm before that, we now have this in verses 8 to 10. Away from me, all who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy, and the Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies will be overwhelmed with shame and anguish. They will turn back and suddenly be put to shame. Whilst nothing is specifically stated in the psalm, something dramatic has happened. From anguish to assurance, from crying to confidence, from death to life, the power of God's presence and knowing his acceptance of all aspects of us is transformative. The Lord has heard, the Lord accepts. My enemies will be overwhelmed, and they will turn back and be put to shame. The change here is palpable. But what has caused it? Whilst we can speculate over what is not mentioned, but may have happened, I would rather concentrate on what is mentioned and what did happen. The Lord heard his weeping. The Lord heard his cry for mercy, and the Lord accepts his prayer. This speaks to me of an intimacy with God, being in his presence and being accepted in person and in prayer. This is what is truly transformative. Not some 12-point plan to perfection, but invitation, intimacy, and acceptance by the Lord God Almighty. This is what transforms you from anguish to assurance, from fearfulness to faithfulness, from weeping to praise. This is the hidden beauty of the Psalms, and perhaps all of the book of Psalms. Pray with your tears, pray with anguish, and pray with your groaning. Pray with everything you are, everything that you're feeling, and everything that you are facing. Be real and raw before your God. It's funny in a way when you think of it, our attempts to hide these aspects of our lives from God. Let's think of it this way. There we are, you and I, created, limited, finite, small. And we say to ourselves in our own cleverness, I'm not going to tell God about this or show God this side of me or be honest with him about this bit of me. Then there's God, the creator of everything, unlimited, infinite, unending. And yet somehow we convince ourselves that our wanting to keep this aspect of ourselves from him will definitely work. It's not like God is suddenly there thinking, man, Rick's decided not to tell me this or bring that emotion to me or this feeling before me. Ah, I'm stumped now. I wonder what he's thinking about. He is God and he knows everything about you. Bring yourself before God and come into his presence. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God and be honest before God. Bring all of you into his presence and know the power of his merciful embrace, his amazing grace, and his loving kindness towards you. His loving kindness, his hearing of your prayers, his acceptance of you has the power to transform your anguish into assurance. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' name and ask that each person listening or watching to this will come into your presence and experience your loving kindness, mercy, and grace. I pray that each one of us will come before you with all of ourselves and all aspects of our lives, giving up our futile attempts to keep something hidden from you. And Lord, I ask that all of us know the transformative power of your presence, of being heard, of being loved, of being accepted, and that it results in our anguish being turned to assurance, that bolsters our faith and trust in you and turns our weeping to praise. Even in this moment, in this year, in this pandemic, and in this lockdown. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you and know the presence of God this week and every week in a new, real, raw, and radical way. Have a great week.